Okay, Chevra, so we're continuing our discussion of Hilchos Shabbos. We're talking now with respect to the Dinim Derabanan of Shabbos, and we spoke about Shehiyah, and we mentioned that there's a fundamental machlekes Rishonim as to whether Shehiyah is Aser because of a... Or Shehiyah, we assume, is Aser Ksim because of Gezer Hashem Yichat V'Gecholam, as a Davar Pashat. Shehiyah means you leave the item on the oven from Erev Shabbos. Then we spoke about Hachazara, about returning food that was on the oven Erev Shabbos, returning it to the oven on Shabbos, and then there's a fundamental machlokes Rishonim, whether Hachazara is Aser because it's Mechzik Mevashel, which seems to be the mainstream approach, or maybe Hachazara is going to be Aser because of Shem Yichat V'Gecholam as well. That was our basic discussion. Now the Gemara distinguishes between the Kira and the Tanur. Our whole discussion till now has been on top of a Kira. Basically a Kira in the time of the Gemara was this thing that was like a basin, and you could put one pot inside and you could put another pot on top. A Tanur is found in the Mishnah on Lamed Ches Amud Beis. A tanur is an item that is wider at the bottom and narrower at the top, and you only put the pot inside the oven. That's a tanur. Although with respect to a kira, the Mishnah tells us at the beginning of Perek Kira that if it is husak bekashu gvava, if you fire the kira up and you use strua or some other material that the fire doesn't last for a long time, so a kira, there is no iser at all if it's hukash, bekash, ugevava. But with respect to a tanur, when it comes to this item, again, which is wider at the bottom and more narrow at the top, so we're more machmir on the tanur, and we assume that a tanur is usr, even though it's husak bekash ugevava, meaning that the tanur, even we paskin in Shulchan Aruch in Simin Reish Nun Gimel Seif Aleph, even if you dig rufa uketuma, even if you took the ashes, you took the coals out of the tanur, still the tanur remains usr, even if it was husak bekash ugevava, and even if it's grufa uketuma, a tanur is a super duper iser, because there is a tremendous amount of heat in the tanur. Let me just read the mechaber to you. Tanur afilu husak bekashu gavava, osur afilu lismochlo. You can't even put the pot next to the tanur, and even if it's goref uketum, it's going to be osur. So a tanur is super duper radical iser. Now, what exactly is a tanur, though, in our terms? Now, the Ramah already writes that what we have, and is called the tanur at the time of the Ramah, has the din of a kira. Meaning, gerufa uketuma will help. And if it's kashu gavava, it's not even necessary to do gerufa uketuma on the tanurim at the time of the Ramah. However, the reason for this is not abundantly clear. There are two separate reasons that the poskim have. One reason is that unlike the tanur at the time of Shas, actually, Professor Sperber in his books has images in the Mishnah. He has like a book on Maseches Kelim, so he has images of what a tanur looked like. If you want to have fun, be my guest. But the difference between the tanur at the time of the Ramah and the tanur at the time of the Gemara is twofold. One is that their tanurs used to be open from the top. The tanur at the time of the Ramah opened from the side. Another difference is that their tanurim got super duper, or the tanurim at the time of the Gemara got super duper hot, and the tanurim of the Ramah, which the Ramah says have a din of Akira, do not get as hot. So two reasons. Top loading versus side loading. And how hot does it get? The Tiferes Shemuel The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Chofres quotes that there's a Sefer Tiferes Shmuel who quotes in the Maharshal that our tanurim really get super duper hot, and therefore our tanurim are being the tanurim of the Ramah. Our tanurim of the Ramah have the din of a tanur at the time of the Gemara, and the Mishnah Berurah writes certainly a tanur shel nachtomen. That's like a pizza oven. Is certainly considered a tanur. So now, what's the din for us? We have, on our ovens, we have the range top, then we have the oven inside, no? Stovetop and oven. Everyone got the terms? So what's the din of what we have? Is that considered a tanur or not? So Reb Moshe Feinstein writes that the pashtus is that it's still considered a kira, it's not considered a tanur. It doesn't get that hot. Okay, gevaldik. It's side-loading, it doesn't get that hot, therefore Moshe says it's considered a kira, and therefore all you have to do is gerufa uketuma to permit things. Right, that's what you were thinking about, Adam?
Just what he was referring to, it's the oven, not the stovetop.
Right? Not the stovetop. The stovetop we spoke about, how you put a blech on, whether you just cover the fire, you cover the knobs also, or only the knobs, right? But the oven, the inside of the oven, it's side-loading. Rav Moshe says it's not that hot. Again, I have no idea how they decide what's that hot, but our ovens only get to like 550. Their ovens can get to like 800 or 900, like the matzah baking ovens, no? They get super duper hot. There's mamish, like fire inside. So our ovens don't get as hot, says Reb Moshe, it's like a kira. Okay, gevaldik. If it's like a kira, so then we have to figure out how you do gerufa uketuma on it. So Rav Moshe writes, and we spoke about this yesterday, Davi asked a question yesterday, we said that maybe the Rav Moshe writes that the way you do gerufa uketuma on inside our oven is that you have a full box. A box usually has six sides. This one can't have six sides, it has five sides. No? And you put the food inside the box. We used to use one of these for Pesach. Right? So that's considered the type of box, according to Rav Moshe, that will be called gerufa uketuma. That's going to be like a blech, which will permit hachazara, once the food is already fully cooked, it will permit shehiya on food that is between, that is somewhat cooked, but not yet maichel ben drusai. That is going to be the gerufa uketuma in the oven, according to Rav Moshe. In Rav Rimon's Sefer, he quotes from the Tshuvas Oz Nidberu, that maybe you don't need that much, all you need to do is to put a piece of metal on the top and on the bottom. So most of our ovens have like have different racks, no? So if I can't put the food mamish on the bottom of the oven, but I line the bottom rack and I line the top rack and I put the food in between, I put the food in the middle shelf, that's going to be called gerufa uketuma according to the Sefer Oz Nidberu. Good? Mr. Schwartz, you had a question? Okay, weiter. Yeah, Davi.
Does toach betit work also?
So toach betit l'cha'ora should certainly work. In other words, toach betit works at least, well, let's say it like this. Toach betit works by shehiya, right? If it's a concern of shema yechate, toach betit will work. If it's a din of hachazara and there's a concern of mechzikim avashel, toach betit won't help. So just pulling the knob off of the oven won't help for hachazara if you're worried about mechzikim v'ashel, but it will help for shehiya. Ah. So now, there is another issue, though, that comes up with our ovens that Rav Rimon discussed on page 355, which is as follows. When I open my oven, so here's the chiddush. Cold air gets into the oven when you open it. Now, if your oven has a thermostat, so effectively what you're doing is you are causing the heat to go on. You're causing the electricity to burn higher and hotter, no? So is it usher to open the oven because of the thermostat? Now, in our day and age, there's a new invention. It's called Shabbos mode ovens. A Shabbos mode oven precisely is meant to solve that problem, which means when I open the door, the thermostat won't cycle on. The thermostat will cycle on based on some timer that is set up independent of when the door opens and closes. But if you don't have a Shabbos mode oven, are you allowed to open the door? So they're one of the tshuvas in Igros Maisha. Again, Chelak Dalet Siman Ayin Dalet, the Dinim of Bishul. These are the tshuvas that he wrote to Reb Shimon Eider. So one of the tshuvas in Igros Moshe writes that he thinks it's not a psik resha that when you open the door, the thermostat will cycle on. Because you could open the door very quickly and close it very quickly, and lav davka will the thermostat go back on. So it's not really a psik resha. It's similar to our refrigerators, no? You see, an oven is the opposite of a refrigerator. When you open an oven, the cold air goes in and it makes the heat go on. You open the refrigerator, hot air goes in, because here's the chiddush. Refrigerators are colder than the outside air. So hot air goes in and then it makes the motor cycle on. So most of us are makel to open refrigerators on Shabbos. We assume that since it happens at some time interval, it doesn't happen right away. It might not happen. It's a davar shein miskav, it's not psik resha, therefore it's okay. And Rav Moshe says, hu hadin by ovens. Now, lamaisa, this is not so pashut. In my former synagogue, Mount Sinai Jewish Center, so at one point they had oven warmers, and the warmer had a digital temperature readout, no? And I'm telling you, you open the door, and you see the numbers drop right away. Okay, so it's at like 280 or something. You open the door, it goes down to 220 instantly. You close the door, it begins to go up instantly. So is there a heter in this case? Is there any heter? So Rav Rimon, in his Sefer on page 355, Rav Rimon tainas that he thinks maybe this is going to still be called the psik resha ayadei grama. I'm not directly causing the thermostat to turn the temperature on. What I'm doing is, I'm doing an action that causes it to go on, and there's a teeny bit of a halachic time delay, that's the assumption, that's called a grama. That point is debatable. And therefore, even as a psik resha, ayadei grama, some permit it. Even those who don't permit it, says Rav Rimon, maybe you can be mekel if you open the door, ayadei your elbow. This takes a little bit of talent, because you don't want to fall into the oven. Right? If you open the door, you're there, your elbow, and you're not careful, you end up being cooked. No? So you have to, if you're like me, and you're a little bit of a klutz, and you open the door, you're there, your elbow, you can end up being cooked. So, Rav Rimon says he thinks that since there is a possibility that's not a psik resha, and even if it is a psik resha, it might be a grama, and you're doing it with a shinui, so therefore he permits it. In my shul, or my former shul, I had a rule that the Jew should not open the warmer. Only Nick. Nick is gevaldik. Right? Nick is the guy in the shul. Only Nick was supposed to open the warmer on Shabbos. I don't know if people abide by the... I don't know. When I was there, I think they did abide by the rules. I don't know exactly, but that's l'cha'ora, again, if it's a non-Shabbos mode oven, so you have the concern of the thermostat, so Rav Rimon is meiko to open it al yidei a shinui. I think goyim are better than shinuis. Ad kan, he doesn't mention goyim because he lives in Eretz Yisrael where there are fewer of them around. Okay, let's go weiter. There is another discussion that comes up in the Gemara on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, and it makes it to Shulchan Aruch and Reish Nun Gimel Se'if Beis, which is that we only permit Hachazara. Remember, for Hachazara, the oven has to be Grufo. The oven, by that I mean range top, has to be Grufo Ketuma. You need a blech. and it has to be oida biyodol daita lahachzir. I see that you pick up the pot and you have das to put the pot back. Vayoda biyodol daita lahachzir. Then we permit hachazara. But zok the gemara, I only permit hachazara al gaba. I don't permit hachazara latocha. What does hachazara latocha versus al gaba mean? That means that they used to have on their kira, right? They had two areas. You have one area where you could put the pot inside, another area that the pot would be on top or be supported by like a teeny bit of metal or something. It's on top of the airspace. Hachazara is not permitted inside the oven. It's only permitted al gaba, only on the top. So in our mitzius, l'cha'ayra, hachazara is going to be permitted only on the range top, not l'cha'ore into the oven, which would be called l'tocha, based on what we're saying, no? But let's go weiter. Why is it aser? Why is hachazara l'tocha aser? So the poskim say that l'tocha has more heat, and therefore it's mechzi kimavashel. Therefore, it looks like you're cooking. The Mishnah Berurah writes it's only called latocha if the pot ends up touching the bottom of that oven area. But if it's somewhat supported, it's not a problem. Okay. But latocha is aser because it's mechzi kimavashel. Now, what would happen for our ovens then? If it's mechzi kimavashel, what would happen for our oven? So l'chayr, it's a problem. It's going to be mechzi kimavashel, right? L'chayr, that's a din. There's an Aruch HaShulchan, though, in Se'if Katan Yud Zayin, where the Aruch HaShulchan tainos that he doesn't think it's mechzi kimavashel. You see, in their times, there are two ways of cooking. You could cook on top, or you could cook inside the oven. For us, if you have only an oven, again, I'm not talking about the way we have it in the Heights. You have a range top and an oven in the same area. But let's say you're in the five towns, and you have like an oven that's built into the wall. You know what I'm talking about? The oven is separate from the range top. So there's only one way to cook on that. You can't put the food on top of that substance, right? Like what grandmommy has in the kitchen. You can't put the food on top, right? Don't work like that. So if there's only an inside, then it's going to be then it's going to be permitted according to the Aruch HaShulchan. Many poskim are not convinced. Many poskim are not convinced that we follow this Aruch HaShulchan, but nonetheless, that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Oh. In Rabbi Willig's book on page 127, so Rabbi Willig quotes that the Aruch HaShulchan would be Mekel, but according to Rabbi Moshe, Hachazara l'tocha is going to be a problem in our ovens. That would mean not only in our ovens, but in our crock pots as well. Now, crock pots have two types of crock pots. When I talk about a crock pot now, I'm talking about a crock pot that has an insert. No? There's the flatbed crock pot, then there's the crock pot that has an insert. With a crock pot that has an insert, so there is a question of a hatmana in the crock pot that we'll talk about tomorrow, Mirat Hashem, that maybe it's considered like it's insulated. But if you solve the insulation problem, or you don't hold the insulation problem, so the question is, can I take my crock pot out and then put it back? Can I take it out of the base and then put it back in? I want my Heloge Yeshiva Bacher Friday Night Shalant. Can I put it back in? So l'cha'ira, that's going to be hachazara l'tocho, which since it's hotter on the inside, right, and if it's touching the bottom, like the Mishnah Berurah says, so then that would be an iser of hachazara l'tocho. Rabbi Willig once said that maybe there's a svara l'hakel as follows. We mentioned with the dinim of Hagosa that we have a chumr the kolbol, never to stir a pot when it's on the fire, even if it's mevushal kol tzarkai. That stirring is considered making the, it's improving the cooking, we said, a svara. It changes the type of cooking. It makes it cook faster. Even ladling out, where choshesh is called stirring. But Rabbi Willig once said, I seem to remember when we did this in Marash HaKol a million years ago, that the chumrah of the kolbo is only in the situation where you have an alternative. Right? With the crock pot, since I can't put it back in if once I take it out, because that would be hachazara latocho, so then I'll ladle it out, I'll scoop it out, and again, ladling out might not be hagasa. Even if it is hagasa, once the food is fully cooked, the kobo is only a chumra ba'alma, so you're allowed to ladle your cholent out. In other words, we just defend the yeshiva bucher Friday night cholent. No? Normal yeshiva bucher cholent is you take the pot and then you put it back. But if it's a crock pot with base, you can't put it back because that's hafzar latocho. So how do you have Friday night cholent is a very serious question in Judaism. Teretz is that you have to be mekel that the dinim of hagasa don't apply once it's fully cooked and there's no alternative. That's l'cha'ira, what emerges.
For our ovens, if we hold like Mishnah Berurah that it's only considered the top if it's touching the bottom, why would a middle rack?
Yeah, so a middle rack would solve. You're saying that the middle rack
is not the bottom of the oven.
So it's not called Hachzara Latocho. Yeah.
You could argue even the bottom rack is not the bottom of the oven. Let's say you want to argue.
Yes, Enochanami, I think you're probably right. But with the crock pot, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
With our oven, again, you can only do hachazara once it's garfakatum, so you have like one of those remoisha blechs or aznidru blech, whatever it's called. But yeah, lachor, if it's not touching the bottom, it's mutter.
This, you said this applies in the case where it's fully cooked, right?
If it's not fully cooked, hachzar is always aser.
Right, so we're saying this is only the case where we're assuming that the chalent is fully cooked. But
correct.
Empirically, I can say that's not true. That the chalent for night is different than chalent Shabbos day.
So that's the question. Flavor. It has to be that the chalent is... That this will only make sense if the chalent is fully cooked. And we already discussed the possibility that, let's say, my chalent has bones in it. Right? So then maybe it's not fully cooked. Maybe the meat in the cholent, the potatoes, the barley is fully cooked, but the bones might not be fully cooked. And we discussed the machlokas between Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch about Rav Moshe, about is it only a problem if you're going to eat the bone? Right? Rav Shlomo Zalman wants to say that if there's anyone in town who might eat the bone, then it's the bone has a din of eicha, and then you have to wait till the bone is fully cooked, which is mamish, as long as the galus. Right? That takes a very long time for the bone to be cooked.
Put rocks in the crock pot or tinfoil.
So if you
balls.
Put rocks or tinfoil in the crock pot, and that's the way you solve the hatmana issue, so then it's not touching the bottom, and then hachazara would be permitted. Correct. That's correct. But if you hold that there's no din of hatmana in the crock pot because a teeny bit of it sticks up, but the bottom is really touching the floor, so then there'll be a problem. Right? That's what I'm talking about. Correct. Oh. Now, we mentioned a big machlekes harishonim about the lumdus of hachazara. Rabbi Nutam in the Sefer Hayashar says a hachazara is aser because of shami yachat b'gecholim. Tosa seems to hold that way. The pseudo ran seems to hold that way. The bahamor seems to hold that way. That's aser shami yachat b'gecholim. Others assume the hachazara is aser because of the din of mechzikim of Ashel. Rabbi Willig in his book on page 91, tries to show that the Ramah paskins, the Hachazara is Aser Shem Yechat B'Gecholim, and that's the Ramah that talks about, we mentioned this in passing, the din of Hachazara Be'erev Shabbos. The Bali HaTosfos say that you're not allowed to do Hachazara in Erev Shabbos. Like Davi asked yesterday, one second, isn't Hachazara in Erev Shabbos the same as Shehiyah? The answer is that no. The Bali HaTosfos say it's called Hachazar in Erev Shabbos if it's so close to Shabbos that the food cannot possibly be heated up before Shabbos. Then it's called Hachazar of Erev Shabbos. And the Bali HaTosfos say Hachazar in Erev Shabbos is Aser. That's what the Bali HaTosfos say. Okay, grant. Now, Hachazar in Erev Shabbos is only going to be Aser if you're worried about Shema Yechate Begecholim. If you're worried about Mechzikim Mevashel, So I'm allowed to start cooking on Erev Shabbos and have the food continue cooking on Shabbos. Any malacha I could start on Erev Shabbos and have it continue on Shabbos, no? I could start watering my grass Erev Shabbos and have the sprinklers continue on Shabbos. Any malacha that I start on Erev Shabbos can continue. Bishul also. And Bishul D'Rabbanan also. You start on Erev Shabbos, can continue on Shabbos. The only thing is, if you're worried about Shema Yechata, soon there's going to be an Isser in Erev Shabbos as well. So therefore Rabbi Willing says, the fact that the Ramah quotes the opinion of the Balei HaTosfos, and he says, Tov Lahachmir for this opinion, that there's a din of Hachazara in Erev Shabbos, that shows that the Ramah really holds that the Isser of Hachazara is because of Shema Yechata B'Gecholim. It's because that maybe you'll stoke the coals. Now, the Mishnah Brura, when he talks about this Ramah / the Tosis about Hachazar and Erev Shabbos, he notes that the din of Hachazar and Erev Shabbos is only usur when the food is fully cooked. If the food is not fully cooked, then there's no Isser of Hachazar and Erev Shabbos, because Hachazar and Erev Shabbos is understood by the Rosh is a gezeirah that maybe you'll cook it on Shabbos, but no one is going to violate Mamish Bishul on Shabbos. So the food is not fully cooked. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkatan Ayin Gimel says it's going to be permitted. Again, you look at the Mishnah Berurah there, Sifkatan Ayin Beis, Ayin Gimel, Ayin Dalet, but fully cooked food, you can't do Hachazar Ner Shabbos, or it's Toiv Lahach, may not do Hachazar Ner Shabbos, because it's Shema Yechate B'Gecholim. If that's the case, so Rabbi Willig has a discussion about warming drawers. Now, a warming drawer, Rabbi Willig assumes, is something that never is used to cook. No? No one cooks on warming drawers. But a warming drawer is used to heat up food. Warming drawers are adjustable. So there is a din of Shema Yechata B'Gecholim. So HaChazara, and certainly Nesina Mechadosh, into a warming drawer, should be a problem, Shema Yechata. So how do you solve the Shema Yechata? Now, usually we solve it with a blech. The only thing is that in this case, the blech is not going to be nicker. It's a drawer. It's inside. So no one will see the blech. And there's a concern that maybe you'll stoke the coals, you'll adjust it before you get to the inside. So just covering the bottom of the warming drawer with tinfoil won't help. What I could do is I could have the tinfoil stick out of the drawer a little bit also. So it is nicker. But, that's also not so poshut. Again, so Rabbi Willig is coming from the perspective that there is no din of Mexican Mevashel on warming drawers. No one cooks in a warming drawer. The only concern is Shema Yechata. How do I solve my Shema Yechata? So I need a blech usually, but the blech might not help over here. And if the blech does help, it's going to be a blech that sticks out, but that's cumbersome because then the drawer doesn't close. I never had a warming drawer. I have no idea like what these things really are. But I'm taking his word for it. You had a comment?
Sure. Why would that be different than an oven? You could also adjust the oven while it's closed.
And you won't see the blech inside.
Man, I'm not going to see the blech, you're saying. Achayra, yeah. Notice, if I'm worried about this concern, and a regular blech should not, or even the fancy Ramosha blech should not help, because you don't see it on the outside, and you're wearing Shema Yechata.
Unless your oven has a glass door.
So if your oven has a glass door, so then it's okay. But if your oven isn't transparent, right, that's a very good ha'ara. I don't know. Now, Rabbi Willig, on his book, page 124, he writes that even if you hold that HaChazar is also Shema Yechata, but it could be that in these cases of a drawer, of Latocho or whatever, so then it's only Mechzik Mevashel. I don't know. He's like, he plays games with, like, the names. He says, oh, the Ran says this, but the Ran says that. Elamai. This is different than that. That's, like, the type of cheshbon he makes. Effectively, what Rabbi Willig says is that the heter for warming shores is going to be that you have to plaster it over, tayach betet, which would mean that you tape it in such a way that you can't adjust it at all. It's going to be very difficult to adjust it. That's his cheshbon. Now, I'm not sure. Because the toach betit, we pointed out, only helps when there's a concern of Shema Yechate. No? I can't do it. Well, if I'm really worried of Mexican of Ashel, so then Tayach Betit won't help. There's no Mexican of Ashel inside a warming jar. So I don't know. Yes, people don't cook in warming jars, but they might do what is halachically called bishul, no? Halachically, bishul means that I take food, which is not yet cooked, and I make it cooked. So you're right, no one will make a steak in the warming jar. But is it possible? It's possible to take water and make the water yad so lettuce boat inside the warming jar. It's doable. Right? So it's something that's shayach to have bishul. So it seems to me that the argument that there's no Mexican mevasho on a warming jar is not pashut. If there's Mexican mevasho, so then the only heter I have is if, what, there's like some sort of real blech, and then I have to figure out, is this considered hachzor latocho? It's not going to be pashut to use a warming jar. I'm not convinced of Rabbi Willig's assumption that there's no Mexican mevasho on warming jars. Similarly, I'm not convinced of Rabbi Willig's assumption on page 147 that there's no Mexican mevasho on non-adjustable hot plates. Rabbi Willig writes that if you have a hot plate and the hot plate is adjustable, then there's a concern of Shem Yechate. But if it's non-adjustable hot plate, there's no concern of Shema Yechate. There might be a concern of Mexican Mevashel, but no one cooks on hot plates. Rabbi Willig then quotes it. One of the tshuvas in the back of Rabbi Eider's book, one of the Ramesha tshuvas, says that it's only going to be mutter if it's something that's impossible to cook. And then Rabbi Willig says his famous distinction that Meir mentioned yesterday, the distinction between American hot plates and Israeli hot plates. Israeli hot plates get super fat, super hot, so you could cook on it. So therefore, it's not impossible to cook on it. Therefore, it's going to be usher als Mexican mevashel. But American hot plates, that's impossible to cook on, it's not going to be usher. So I have two ha'aros. One ha'ara is, if I use the halachic definition, what's called cooking, so I think it's possible to cook on an American hot plate as well. I can make water reach the temperature of 113 Fahrenheit, no? I might not cook a meal on it, but I could do halachic cooking on it. No saf al kach. American hot plates can also get super duper hot, no? Remember that family a few years ago in Stuttgart lost like 7 kids? The whole family was like killed in a fire. What was the fire because of? It was because of their hot plate. The hot plate got too hot, no? It's a real problem. Even American hot plates. I was in America. I was in Borough Park. Even American hot plates can get very hot. More than that, I mentioned to Mayor yesterday, a couple months ago, I sat on a Din Torah. The case was a landlord-tenant dispute that the landlord was not giving gas. And the tenant, because he didn't have gas, the tenant had to cook on hot plates, basically. He cooked on hot plates. Not only that, his wife made an entire Pesach on a hot plate. That was like the... that's what they were tining in the Din Torah. Again, and their electric bill went up, and basically the tenant decided not to pay rent because he felt that the landlord's not providing him with basic services, so he withhold the payment of rent. As a matter of halacha, that was a very questionable thing, no? You are benefiting from the apartment. You're living there. The fact that you don't have gas means that living is uncomfortable. But it's something. No? So maybe you're entitled to a rent abatement. But I don't know. And that's what New York City law, by the way, says. If the landlord doesn't provide you basic services, you're entitled to a rent abatement, but you can't just withhold rent entirely. But because I'm arguing that the svara that both warming jurors and hot plates are not mechzika mevashel, I'm not convinced that that's correct, because it's not mechzika mevashel in the sense of no one will cook with it, but it is mechzika mevashel in terms of what halachic bishel is. And if I use Ramesh's distinction, that's only mutter when it's impossible to cook, right? So then I would argue, certainly, that these things are possible to cook with. Hello, Mr. Kalfler.
Isn't the whole svara of mechzika mevashel that someone's going to see you and think that you're cooking? But if you're saying that it's mechzika mevashel because you could get yad sweatus, bro, not like someone's going to say, oh, he's...
But someone will come in and they'll say that I'm violating an iser of bishul b'shabbos. It's not that someone's going to come in and say, oh, you're making dinner. Right? Someone's going to come and say, oh, you know what? This guy didn't learn Hilchos Shabbos one. He's violating an Isser Bishul B'Shabbos. It's Marasayin. Now, that's what I would argue. Yeah, I'm not convinced of the Svara, but I think it's enough of a Svara that it's enough of a Svara.
Do you have a way of being Matir Haplates?
Being Matir Haplates? Again,
I mean, if the Mexican Bacha applies, so then...
You need a blech.
You need to use a blech.
Right, as you put a layer. I'm not convinced of the Archos Shabbos' thing that a layer of tinfoil does not count as a blech. So put a layer of tinfoil on. It's really not that difficult. Again, the Minika Olam, I think, in our world, is that people use non-adjustable hot plates and they'll put food on it directly, etc. If it's solid food, even Hanochel Lechatchilo, they'll do. I'm not convinced. I think you should have some sort of blech, Mr. Tanner.
What about Rav Willig's claim that we're not really worried about the Ramad didn't pass from Mechzika Mevashel?
I find that maybe within the Ramah, Zichar, the Mishnah Brura, is assuming that Mechzika Mevashel is the main reason. In terms of counting Rishonim, certainly Mechzika Mevashel is the main reason. I find it hard to say that it's only because of Shema Yechata. I find that, again, it might be true within the Ramah, but as a matter of halacha, I'd be concerned with the other shitos. Oh. A few ha'aros, just very briefly. Let's say a person didn't come to the shiur and doesn't know the dinim well. So, avar v'shaha. So that's a d'shayla in the Gemara, Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, whether a person does shehiyah. Usually, if a person violates a malacha b'shabbos, mevashel b'shabbos, you do an iser doy raisa. So shin yud ches, so if aleph says mevashel b'shabbos, or you do one of the other malachos, so there's a machlekes hatanoim, Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. According to the shita of Reb Meir, the food is usser that day. That's what the mechaber paskins in shin yud ches se'if aleph. The Gura says that we really hold like Reb Yehuda that Mevashel B'Shabbos is going to be mutter even for you if it was done B'Shoigeg on that Shabbos. It's going to be mutter B'Shoigeg. That's the sheet of Reb Yehuda. That's how the Gura paskins against Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah in Shin Yud Chesed, if katan hay, Mishnah Berurah says that La'es HaTzorech you can rely on the Gura. So ordinarily, if I do a malacha b'Shabbos, mevashel b'Shabbos, so be'etzem, according to the Gra, it's going to be mutter even for you. The food is mutter for you on that Shabbos. Because we hold like Reb Yehuda, mevashel b'Shabbos b'shogeg is going to be mutter. Va'oso hayom. However, we're more machmir on dinim d'rabbonon that you violated than if you violate dinim d'oraisa. It's a little paradoxical. But the Gemara writes that Avar V'Shaha, even according to Reb Yehuda, the Gemara in Lamed Ches says, that Avar V'Shaha is going to be Aser Boi B'Yayin. If you do Shehiya, the food is going to be Aser that same day. This is Paskin and Reish Nun Gimel Se'if Aleph, that Avar V'Shaha Shachach v'shaha, if I do it b'shaigeg, right? If the food is mevushal kol tzarkoi, according to the Mechaber, it's going to be mutter. The Ramah writes if it's mevushal kemaychol ben shusoi, it's going to be mutter. But if it's food that's hischol hispashav lo bishal kol tzarkoi, it's going to be usar ad motzei Shabbos. So we're more machmir on shechia b'shogeg than we are on bishul b'shogeg. Right, that's what emerges from these halachos. So is there any heter if someone didn't know the dinim of shechia and the person left food between being completely ruah? It's not completely ruah anymore. And the food is also not cooked kemaychol ben drusai. So in that situation, shehiya is aser. Let's say you did it. Is there any heter? So Pashtus and Shulchan Aruch is absolutely not. The Archos Shabbos quotes that there is a that the bir halacha dibra hamasol hashoso. The bir halacha is the following einfal. He says, you know, we said the Gemara Daf Yud Ches Shulchan Aruch passing this way. There's a heter of kidra chaisa. Kidra chaisa means a ruah piece of meat. Since I'm not going to, it won't be ready Friday night no matter what. And it's going to be ready Shabbos day no matter what. So Kidra Chaisa is mutter. Right? We had like four reasons why we should not rely on Kidra Chaisa b'sman hazeh. But nonetheless, Kidra Chaisa, it says in the Gemara, is mutter. It says in Shulchan Aruch, it's mutter. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that some Rishonim, and the Oyer Rabbah paskens this way, some Rishonim assume that Kidra Chaisa is not only food that you cannot eat Friday night, but even food that you don't intend to eat Friday night. So let's say I have my cholent, and my cholent was somewhat cooked before Shabbos, but it's not yet kemaychol ben drusai, and I'm leaving my cholent in the open fire, unblecht. Is it mutter to eat the cholent? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, in that bir halacha, dir masal hashoso, that b'di'evid you can rely on those who say that this is called kidra chaisa. It's called kidra chaisa because you don't intend on eating it until tomorrow. Again, I'm assuming that you're not a yeshiva bachar. You're not going to eat the challah that night. Any food that you don't intend on eating until tomorrow, the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha Tainas, that has a din of Kidra Chaisa. That is an unbelievable kula to pull out of your sleeve. So that is Shehiyah that you did Be'isser. What about Hachazora that you did Be'isser? Let's say you take the pot and you put it back on the fire, be'isser, after the pot was taken off and it was not oidim b'yodai, not daitai l'hachzir, yimamish hiniach agabe karka, then you put it back. Is the food going to be mutter? So the Hagos HaShri in Perakira Os Beis has a svara that maybe hachazora is more mekal than shehiyah. By Shehiya, everybody holds that it's going to be usher. Even the Tana Reb Yehuda holds Shehiya of Arvashah is going to be usher. But it could be that by Hachazara, says the Hagayis HaShri, Tzarech Iyu Nim Hechzir B'Isser B'Shogeg, is it Mutter Ba'Achila? Maybe Dafka Shachach Kedera U'Bishla, that the food was improved B'Isser, maybe then it's going to be usher. But by Hachazara Be'isser, the food was already ra'i la'achila beforehand. Remember, Hachazara Be'isser means that the food is already fully cooked. If the food was not fully cooked beforehand, then I'm doing bishul. No? But if the food was fully cooked, then it's Hachazara Be'isser. Right, it was fully cooked, but hineach agave karka or the like. So, Hachazara Be'isser says the Hagayis HaShri, Tzarech Iyun, that perhaps it's going to be more mekom because you're not really benefiting from the isser. By Shehiya, the food was not ready beforehand, so when you do it be'isser, you're making a real improvement. By Hachazara be'isser, that the food was edible beforehand, maybe it's a less significant act. It's a beautiful Hagos HaShri, but Lamaisa, the Ramon, Reishon and Gimel Se'if Beis, does not paskin that way. And Reishon and Gimel Se'if Beis, so we paskin that even Hachazara be'isser is soon going to be usher by b'yayim. Nothing to talk about. Even b'shogeg, hachzar b'isser, it's going to be usher bo b'yom. nothing to talk about. It's a beautiful Hagos HaShri, but it's not accepted lahalacha. I want to talk for 5 minutes about hot water urns on Shabbos. Ay, 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 ay. So there are different types of urns in the religion. Some urns have a thermostat, which means that when the water goes beneath a certain temperature, the urn will cycle back on. That's a thermostat. Other urns don't have a thermostat, but the water is constantly being cooked. No? You have urns that have a Shabbos mode of sorts, which is that the thermostat works on some sort of temperature set, some sort of time setting. There's also types of urns that have indicator tubes. A glass tube that you could look at, assuming it's not yet broken, that you could look at and see how much water remains inside the urn. So what's the status of using urns on Shabbos? What are the halachic issues involved? So Rav Rimon has a discussion about this in his Sefer, page 387 and onward. In the Archos Shabbos, the discussion is on page Ayin Gimel and onward. A few things to be said. First of all, the most modern urns are the biggest problem. And what that means is probably the industrial urns are the biggest problems. An industrial urn that has like hundreds and hundreds of gallons of water in it, when you push the button, what you are really doing is you are starting a pump that is pulling the water out. So it's mamish, your maisa directly. So that's like the worst type of problem in Judaism. The industrial urns are really bad, but most of us don't have those type of urns. The electric urn is plugged into the wall, and you have the coils that are heating it. It's not considered grufa uketuma, because l'cha'ora, the normal way of using it is that you just have the bottom of the urn, right? The piece of metal covers the coils. That's the usual way of using it. It's no sort of hecker. So the urn is not grufa uketuma. Therefore, my urn would have an isser of shehiyah on it if the water is somewhat cooked, but not yet Michael ben Drusai cooked. So you have to be sure, again, how am I cheshbon out Michael ben Drusai by a liquid? So we spoke about Rav Moshe versus the Alter Rebbe. So some poskim assume that whatever is called Yad Sola Despo is considered Michael ben Drusai already. The Chazon Ish writes that you start at Yad Soledes and you go until boiling and you divide that area by a third. Right? That's the way the Chazon Ish says it. But I should make sure that my water is really cooked on Erev Shabbos, or else I'm in violation of the Isser of Shehiyah on the water. The water in my urn.
And we can rely on the indicator on the urn, which says, like, it switches from
from orange to red something. Yeah, l'chora, I mean, that's a pretty accurate thing. It's mamish boiled. So you can't put the water in, let's say, 5 minutes before Shabbos, because then you'll be in violation of an Isser Shehiyah. No? Oh.
Can you pre-boil the water on Thursday,
so technically? So if the water is pre-boiled on Thursday...
Just boil on Thursday, put it in the freezer, put it back in the...
So if you put it in the freezer, that might undo everything.
I'm saying,
but if I have pre-boiled water and it stays warm, so Ashkenazim assume that there's no bishul achar bishul once it was mevushal kol tzarko, if it's lo azlachami musay, if it's lo niskara legamre. So that would be okay, and there's no iser shehiya because it was already cooked once. And the chanami. But that's already, you have to think very halachically to do that, but maybe. Oh. So, my urn, I have a problem of shehiyah. Okay, next. Let's say the water is in the urn, and I solve my problem of shehiyah. I have the water a third cooked before Shabbos. Right? And however I define a third, like in Rav Rimon Sefer, he discusses, is a third cooked like 158 Fahrenheit? whatever it is. You have the water, say it's 158 Fahrenheit. But the water can in the urn can hit 212. It can mamish boil. If I take water out of the urn before the water has fully boiled, so I could be in violation of an Isser Bishol B'Shabbos Mamish. Because here's the thing, this is advanced science. If you have less water in the container, what I have there will cook faster than if I have more water in the container. No? That means that when I open the spigot and water begins to come out, now I have less water, and therefore the stuff that remains inside is going to be usser, is going to be cooked faster, so I'll be in violation of an Isser Bishol. If I want to be a fancy Jew and say, okay, I'm not going to take it out of the spigot, I'm just going to stick a cup in from the top, well, you have the same problem when you take it out. You also have a problem that once you take it out, right, let's say the water was already fully boiled. Once I take it out, so cold air will go in, it's going to get cooler, and then it'll heat up again. And not only that, if I want to cover my urn again, I want to put the cover on it, so then I'm doing kisui kedera on a kedera that's not mevushal kol tzarko, and that's going to be a problem. So that's a big issue. Your water really has to be cooked.
Is that also by Dovalach? Even by Dovalach? Also by Dovalach, you don't have Hagosa, right?
Well, by Dovalach, there's no Hagosa, but Kisui Kedera. Many assume that Kisui Kedera, Hagosa is a concern because you're making everything uniform, right? But over here, if I raise the temperature, if I cover the pan, I'm raising the temperature, so that Lechoyer would be a problem. Now, let's say I open the spigot and I take water out. Am I allowed to close the spigot? Right? Halachic man thinks of everything. So closing the spigot's going to be interesting. You see, Kolzman, that it's open, the water is coming out. When I close it, I'm keeping water in. And keeping water in is going to cause the water that's staying inside to become mevushal. So that's called mitzamtzem in halacha. Right, the Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses murdering somebody by tying the person up, right, in the hot boiling sun. Right, if I make it that you can't leave, that's called mitzamtzim. So by closing the spigot, that's going to be mitzamtzim in halacha. So, Eitzah Tova, first thing, make sure your water is fully boiled before Shabbos. If the water is not fully boiled before Shabbos, you could end up in real trouble. What about my... Now, this is talking about an urn that does not have a thermostat. If my urn has a thermostat, so the thermostat has two different settings, on and off. No? It's like, what are your choices when you're on the LL for the meal? Right? Yes or no? Those are your choices. On or off. Okay. So, if I take the water out when the thermostat is off, I'm going to be causing the thermostat to go on earlier, and that's going to be the same issue that we discussed a few minutes ago, like opening the oven door, right? That you cause the thermostat to go on, not at all pashut, that's mutter. If the thermostat is on now, if the thermostat is on, and then if the thermostat is on while I take the hot water out, so I still have a problem, no? Because I'm making the water cook faster. The water that remains inside the urn is going to be less water. Even though the thermostat's on, when the thermostat's on and I have a full tank of water, it's going to take 4 minutes to cook. Now that I have less than a full tank of water, it's going to take 2 minutes to cook. So that's going to be a problem. So it's not at all pasha to use one of these urns. L'cha'ayra, the urn without the thermostat, is better than the urn with the thermostat. The urn without the thermostat, as long as you boiled it before Shabbos, you solved all the problems. The urn with the thermostat, it's not pasha at all. If you take the water when it's off, you might be causing it to turn on earlier. Take the water when it's on, you're causing the water that remains inside to cook cooler. To cook quicker. So if you have a Shabbos mode urn that the thermostat's set on the timer, it's gevaldik. But if you have an urn with a thermostat that's not Shabbos mode, so then it's going to be an issue. What about the indicators? Yeah.
But isn't the problem of making it cook quicker the same, even if it's, let's say, it's not going to change, it has the Shabbos mode? Because you're still, if it's a certain heat inside the urn, and you're taking out water, so now there's less water in the urn, it'll cook faster.
Okay.
Why does it matter? Why does it help that it's that it has no thermostat?
Again, so if there's no thermostat, and it was boiled beforehand, then I won't violate the Isser Bishul. If I have an urn with a thermostat, and the water was not cooked beforehand, you're right, Enochanami. Right, an urn without a thermostat also, if the water was not boiled beforehand, you can violate the Isser Bishul. Correct. In terms of that, it's the same. What about the indicators? Now, the indicators in the pump pots, let's say, there are two forms, and I think the pump pot company improved it over time. It used to be that there was like a teeny bit of insulation between that indicator tube and the urn, and therefore the water in the indicator tube could cool down. And that water, when it cools down, when you take water out, so some of the water from the tube will go back in to the pot, and that water will get cooked. If it's nitztan in legamrei, for sure it's a problem. If it's not nitztan in legamrei, so then it depends. If it already was mevushal kol tzarkai, so then it's going to be gevaldik. If it wasn't mevushal kol tzarkai, it's going to be a problem. So it's a good idea to make sure that all the water in your urn is cooked fully, and even the water in the indicator is cooked fully. But the water in the indicator is not going to be cooked fully so easily, because when I fill my pot up, so the water in the tub gets cooked fully, gets boiled, but the water in the indicator never got boiled. So that's why what you should do is you should pump it one time. I used to do this every Shabbos when you had like the pump pot. You pump it one time, so that makes the water that was in the indicator come out. No? And then all the water that would be in the indicator afterwards was water that was already boiled. That's what Rav Rimon recommends in his Sefer. For some reason, the Archos Shabbos has a kula over here. He says that he spoke to some scientists that the water is constantly moving between the indicator tube and the main thing. So Ken Zayin, that even if you didn't pump it before Shabbos, that the water that's in the indicator was water that was already mala resicha beforehand, so it's not going to be a problem. Okay. That's his chesh. But again, I don't see why you wouldn't want to just like pump it one time before Shabbos and solve the problem. Now, some of the newer pump pots don't have any indicator. It looks like it's an indicator, but it's not. Really, it's like a piece of translucent plastic that you look inside and you see how much water is there. There's no indicator at all. You're just peeking right in to see. So that's Heter Gomor, right? There's no problem. Right? There's no problem whatsoever. That should be okay. Now, Chacham Avad Yosef in the Tshuva, Rav Rimon quotes on page 391, Chacham Avad Yosef Meko, even on the indicators that are far away. Some of the older pots, I think in my show, we used to have an indicator that was like really far away from the urn. But the good thing about the urn in the show is it was very old, so the indicator was broken. So there's never any water in the indicator. Right? Check in the show kitchen. You'll see what I mean. I was not nervous about it because it was broken. But Chacham Avadya is meko even on the indicator that's far away, because he says the amount of water that's in the indicator is very little. Even though it's a psik reisha, it's a psik reisha, delay nicholei, which the aruch is meko on, and lemais, that's happening gayude grama, because you're taking water out, and that's goyrim, the water to go from the indicator back into the thing, and psik reisha, ayude grama, some are meko on, combined with the fact that it's lo nicholei, and ayude grama, and according to some rishonim, even by a davar lach, we're going to say ein bishol achar bishol. And maybe we'll say ein bishol achar bishol once the water is cooked, kemaicho ben shusoy, to make it cooked all the way. So you put together all of these kulas, and Chacham Avadya is like the king of this, no? He's the king of being mitzarif, different kulas, And that is his svara. So that's basically what Rav Rimon says. He quotes Chacham Avadya, but he writes that lamaisa, it's a good idea to buy a pump pot with a hashgacha, and he gives you two brands. Machon Somet has a pump pot, and Machon Madai Technologi Lahalacha has a pump pot. You should buy one of those. That's his assumption. There's one other concern about urns and pump pots as follows. The last Mishnah Berurah in Shin Yud Ches talks about the samovar. And the Mishnah Berurah says that you shouldn't use a samovar where there are coals inside it, because there's a concern that maybe you're going to have no water left in the samovar, and then the samovar will crack if there's no water left. And therefore, to avoid that problem of the samovar cracking, so you might actually add water on Shabbos and mamish be mevashal on Shabbos to solve the samovar from cracking. Okay, you know what a samovar is?
I think so.
You think so? It's like the old Russian... My grandmother had a samovar.
I have no idea what it is.
Huh?
It's a fancy tea kettle.
It's a massive tea kettle. Right? How do you translate what a samovar is?
It's a hookah attached to a tea kettle, but instead of...
The samovar was the pump urn.
All right.
It was like a very big metal bowl, and they used to have coals at the bottom that would heat the water inside it. Those are the old Russian samovars. So Mishnah Berurah says, don't use a samovar on Shabbos because we're worried that maybe it will be emptied of water, and then you might add water to it to make sure it doesn't crack. So hu hadin, maybe, we should say not to use a urn or a pump pot on Shabbos because it can get ruined if you have no water left. But lamaisa, this is not shayich in mitzius for the following reason. Our urns have the spigot in a place that there's some water underneath it. No? A little bit of water. So it's not going to crack anyway, because there's a teeny bit of water underneath it. Now, in theory, you could tilt it and get that last drop of water out, but that's not a normal situation. So you don't have to worry that the guy's going to tilt it and get all the water out and then add water to make sure the pump pot doesn't break. No? So you don't have to worry about that. So all the svarim are meko on this concern. Again, that's the last Mishnah Berurah in Shin Yud Ches about not using some of ours on Shabbos. Okay, so Be'ezus Hashem, tomorrow we'll talk about Hatmana, and I'll try to have a Bechina ready for you guys to take on Monday. And we are basically done with this Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos. All we have left is Hatmana. Okay, gentlemen, thank you for coming to listen.